Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to a Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. It's a pleasure to see everybody, especially on the non-denominational secular holiday, where people are still taking the time to learn Torah. Ma'ahavti sarasecha kol hayom hisichasi, baruch Hashem, so let us be mechazik with some divrei Torah on this day of evening of Thanksgiving. So I just want to publicly thank, if some of you heard me tell my mother-in-law where I am, and by my husband's aunt and uncle, Uncle Shlomi and Aunt Susie Goldreich, Tizkul Mitzvos of the Ma'isim Tovim. Some of you have heard me Zoom from here before, in past months, and I thank them publicly for hosting. We came out to Toronto to see my parents for the weekend, so I really appreciate their hospitality, and Achnasos Archim Shabin Zuchoyes Latova to them and their family for Oni Besoros Tovas. And welcome Ima, to my mama's brother, where I am currently giving shir from. Okay, so tonight we have two sponsors. I say them in the order which I receive them, Tizkul Mitzvos of the Ma'isim Tovim. First of all, Sandy Leader is sponsoring once again, Tizkul Mitzvos Sandy. Zechonishmas, her grandmother, Sarah Bas Rav Shmua Alal Sham, Sandy said who she is named after. The Yahrzeit is Beis Kislev, which is this coming Shabbos. Her grandmother was a tremendously courageous and talented woman who was widowed in her late 20s. If you recall, she was the wife of Rafal Klein, whose Yahrzeit was last week. We spoke, who was Nifter so young, and suddenly she had no source of income and three children under the age of five who she needed to support. Sandy said this was the time before all the Tomchei Shabbos and all the Kupas Ezra and all those who helped the Mass Chesed organization. She had to rely on her talents and the generosity of others to survive. She managed to land a position as a manager of what we today call a bed and breakfast in Hovald. She was able to raise my mother, Sandy Rowe, and my mother's brother, Sammy. Sandy, we had Shira Zeichon Ishmaso as well, I recall, Shemin Kamdamo, and Jean to be Torah observant Jews, despite the many obstacles that came her way. The silver lining of this is that in the bed and breakfast, Sandy's father met her mother. As the tale goes, her mother was waitressing on the table of guests. She caught my father's eye, said Sandy. The rest was history. My grandmother emigrated to America with my parents, but was nifteres only 3 years later. Tehi zechra baruch. So this year should be zchus aliyah neshama for Sarah Bas Rav Shmua Alaha Hashalom, whose yahrzeit is two kislev, which is Shabbos Kodesh. The other aliyah zechira neshama is dedicated by our friend Susie Farnfeder, who has also sponsored in the past Tizki the Mitzvos. She's sponsoring the zechra neshmas her brother-in-law. Like last week's sponsor as well, Susie Farnfeder's brother-in-law, Usher Ben Zev, Zichrono Levracha, never married. His yahrzeit is Aleph Kislev, which is tonight slash tomorrow. It is the Bo Bayam of the yahrzeit. Actually, Susie wrote about her brother-in-law. He was a very quiet person. He never spoke much. He took care of his mother as he got older. He took over the grocery store she had in Bnei Brak. And I thought that it was just interesting that both Zechir and Elias Neshamas revolved around, you know, there was a bed and breakfast or a manager or waitressing or serving people through a store, taking care of Tzarchi Tzivor. The thing that I remember most, said Susie, was going to visit him in the store, and there were Sfarim always on the counter. That he was extremely shy, and Susie said that her brother-in-law, this one specifically, suffered most under the war years. During the Holocaust, they were all in hiding in different places. He and an older brother were in hiding together in an inn as a busboy, but they were constantly on the run to avoid being caught. He was only 12 years old. This was very hard on him. He had his bar mitzvah after the war. Amazing. All the brothers and sisters survived the war, including the parents, but they were all in hiding in different places. In Hungary, they all survived. So like last week's dedication, Asher Ben Zev, Zichrono Levracha, was never zoche to biological peros, but the spiritual peros that emanate from the shir should be a schus for the aliyah neshama. So where are we going to begin today? So it's a little bit minyane diyoma, even though it's in yane diyoma, of a secular day, we are going to make it related very, very much to the Torahic perspective. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you and going, look, Mikam Chayisha, see if you observe Thanksgiving, you don't, you add turkey, you don't, Baruch Hashem, we're making time to learn Devei Torah this evening, Baruch Hashem. So could you see that I am in Perkei, well, I don't know if you know it's Perkei and Perkei Avos, but could you see that I am in Perkei Avos? Okay, I'm just saying, well, I made my bracha before, for those who were here, you heard me, for those who didn't hear me, I did. So I'm in Pirkei Avos, Parakei, Mishnah Zayin. Okay? It's interesting because my husband's aunt and Susie, she said, I said, I have shir at 8 o'clock. And Susie, I'm just going to go my regular place because this is where I give shir when I'm here. So she said, what's the shir? And so I said, Pirkei Avos. She said, Pirkei Avos is over. I said, I know, but Baruch Hashem, we started 2.5 years ago in the spring of COVID. and we're going for almost 3 years Kanainahar. So Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Devei Torah. I said it's really amazing emanating from this Ashir series, Baruch Hashem Kanainahar. Shiva Dvarim Begolim Veshiva Bechacham. So the Mishnah tells you, Perikei Mishnah Zayin, that there are seven things that characterize a boor, a low class person, an Am Aretz, if you will. Veshiva, like a golem, like, you know, the golem was like a clog. A clog, just, you know, a mass of dirt without like a life force, really, without a neshama. So a golem is like a boor, an ama aretz, a low class person. Shiva dvarim begolem, b'shiva b'chacham. There are seven midos of a golem and seven midos of a chacham. Chacham, what are the seven midos of a chacham? Einu medabra lefnei misha gadol mimenu b'chacham. B'minyan, this is very important. A wise man knows when to hold his tongue, when he's before a gadolim, when he's before a rashi yeshiva who are greater than him, when he's before teachers and scholars, when he's before the zakenim. He knows his place. He knows not to talk before someone who is greater in wisdom or in age, in number. Einu nichnas l'toch divrei chaveiro. He knows not to interrupt. Excuse me, if somebody else is speaking, so he does not interrupt. Ve'enu nivhal lahashiv. He does not hasten to answer. He's not quick to answer. Sometimes when you're so quick to answer, you end up making a mistake through your words. Shol al ki'inyan u'meishiv kahalacha. He asks regarding the subject matter. So, you know, if you're talking about what you had for supper, he doesn't say, oh, where did you go on vacation last January? That has no shaykhus. He stays on topic, even though I'm sure we're talking about Divrei Torah here. But when I said, it's darach eretz to stay on topic. It means you're a good listener. Shol al ki'inyan. Someone's speaking to you about what they made for supper, and you say, what did you find in the mall for Black Friday sale? That has nothing to do with what they're telling you. It shows you're not listening to them. If you're a shol al ki'inyan, you're listening to what they're saying. Umeshiv kahalacha, and he answers to the point. Va'omer al rishon, rishon va'al achon, achon. Ah, Torah trivia. We just have that in Rashi. Where do we have that in Rashi? In last week's Sedra. Parachof Dalet. Rivka. Rivka answers on first and last. When Eli asks, Ezra asks her, Basmi'a, where are you and is there a place for my camels and straw? She answers first and last. Rashi quotes this, Mamar Chazal on last week's Sedra Chayisara. Rivka was a chacham or a chachama. Rivka answered al rishon, says Rashi, val achon achon. Someone asks you a question, you answer the first nekuda first and the last nekuda last. Va'al masha lo shama omer lo shamati. And what he didn't hear, he says, I didn't hear. He admits, instead of making up an answer and pretending he knows what's going on, he says, you know, I really didn't hear what you said. Instead of just talking and not making any sense, he asks for clarification. Umoda al ha'emes, and that's going to be the point of departure. Excuse me, for tonight's shir. Moda al ha'emes, which we're going to be speaking about, the cheluf and begolem, and the opposite of these character traits is the golem. So let's go through them again quickly, even though we went through quickly the first time. There are seven traits in a boor, in a golem, in a clod, in an amha'aretz, and there are seven traits in a chacham. I also find it very, very interesting, by the way, that the Mishnah focuses on the positive. Do you notice that? The Mishnah tells you these are the seven character traits of a golem, and seven character traits of a wise person. Now the Mishnah could tell you these are the seven character traits of the golem, and then say the opposite for the chacham. Or the Mishnah could say these are the seven character traits of the chacham, and the opposite for the golem. What does the Mishnah do? So that's exactly what the Tana does. The Tana tells you first the seven character traits of the chacham. It lists the positive. This is a lesson in and of itself. Before we even talk about Moda Ela Emes, which is the focus of the Shir, do you see what I'm telling you? The Mishnah does not focus on the negative. The Mishnah does not say, these are seven character traits of a golem. He speaks before he who is greater than him. He interrupts his friend. He's quick to answer. He questions you not on topic. He doesn't know how to answer to the point. He answers about first, last, and last first. He answers even when he hasn't heard. He rejects the truth. And then the Mishnah could say the opposite is in the Chacham. That's not what the Mishnah does. So I'm just pointing out from the structure of the Mishnah how you see how sensitive we have to be to always focus on the positive. That's not necessarily the focus of tonight's shir, but it's a beautiful lesson. The Mishnah had two choices. Tell me the traits of the Golem, opposite in the Chacham. Tell me the traits of the Chacham, opposite in the Golem. What did the Mishnah do? The Mishnah tells me the seven character traits of the Chacham. A person should always have an eye in Tova, a Lashon Nekiya. We learn this from the Chumash itself by Noach, by the animals that were coming in to the Teva. So it says, Behema Tahora, Ubehema Asher Eino Tahora. You should take, Hashem said to Noach, the pure animals, and from the animals that are not pure, two by two. So why do you tell me from the animals that are not pure? Just tell me the treif animals. So I believe this is from Maseches Pesachim Gimel. I'm pretty sure it's Pesachim Gimel. So the Gemara says there, you learn that Hashem wasted, he put extra words in the Torah in order to teach us Lashon Nekiya. Hashem could have said, from the Behema Tahora, take seven of each. From the behemoth tmeya, that's one word, tmeya, take two of each. From the behemoth Torah and behemoth asher einenu tahora. That's a lot of extra words. So just tell me something's tummy. Why do you just tell me from the animals that are tummy? No, from the animals that are not pure. If you could avoid using the word tummy, sometimes it's necessary. We have a whole chapter on Tazria Mitzvah on Taras. I am aware. But if you can avoid seeing the negative or speaking the negative, that's issue. So therefore, the Gemara says in Pesachim Gimel, I believe it's Pesachim Gimel Aleph, that there you learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, who focused on the Tahora instead of focusing on the Tmeya. And I think that's what you see here in the Mishnah. That's really the first lesson of tonight's Shir. And that is that the Mishnah focuses on the Chacham. And you, by power of reasoning, you could understand that the opposite is in the golem. Instead of focusing on the golem, we focus on the positive. So the positive is you should know your place. You shouldn't speak in front of one who is greater than you. The positive is you shouldn't interrupt when somebody else is speaking. The positive is you shouldn't be so quick to answer. You should ask according to topic, and you should answer to the point. Like Rivka Imenu, you should answer Rishon Rishon. She answered the Eved al Rishon Rishon Val Achron Achron. If you don't hear something, you should say, you know, please repeat it before you make up an answer. I didn't hear. Umoda al ha'emes, and the opposite in golem. Okay, so that's the first lesson of the shir. And now we go to moda al ha'emes. So given that today is, I mean in Canada it's not, but given that today in America is Thanksgiving, yes, it is interesting. It's interesting, who's that, Esti Klein? Yeah, that Esti said, it's interesting that the Mishnah says, one second, oh no, I lost my page by mistake. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we're back. Okay, it's interesting that the Mishnah says Shiva Dvarim Begolam v'Shiva B'Chacham. The Mishnah lists the Golam first and then the Chacham. You see, maybe it should say Shiva Dvarim B'Chacham v'Shiva B'Golam and then tell me B'Chacham. So I hear your kasher, your point. It's a very nice question. I didn't anticipate or look up the Mefarshim, so I would have to look it up. I am not going to answer Amashalo Shama Amarlo Shamati. I'm not just going to make up an answer because I wouldn't be answering to the point. So it's a good question. It's a good comment. In other words, Esti is saying then why does it put Golem before Chacham in the introduction to the seven character traits? Maybe it should say Shiva Dvarim B'Chacham V'Shiva B'Golem and then tell me Chacham. Okay, so I don't have an answer for you. So based on what the Mishnah advises, I'm not going to make one up. We probably have to look up the Mefarshim, but it's an interesting Nakuda. But it still stands that the Mishnah itself, in listing the seven character traits, lists the positive character traits of the Chacham, like Behema Asher Eino Tahora, and then lists the seven, and then tells you the opposite is in the Golem. We should always try to have an Ayin Tova. Mi Yish HaChavetz Chaim Ohev Yamim. Lir os tov. We shouldn't be like a Bilam HaRasha with his tsarus ayin and ruach gevoha. Okay, I want to talk now about moda al ha'emes. Given that today is the American day of what they call Thanksgiving, moda al ha'emes. So moda means a number of different things. Okay? It means to admit. Here you see Chabad says concedes to the truth. He admits to the truth. Moda, of course, also means to give thanks. It has a double meaning. Okay. It has a double meaning. Sur meira va'asei tov. That's exactly right. Sur meira. If you stay away from the bad, only then va'asei tov. Only then will you be able to do good. So moda means to admit. Okay. Yehuda was moda that Tamar was tzadka mimeni. And moda also means to give thanks. So we are a nation of whom giving thanks way preceded the American Day of Thanksgiving. Way, way, way preceded the American Thanksgiving. Okay, and if we look here in Bereshis, could you see it says Bereshis Chavtas? Thank you. So this is next week's Sedra. I'm just going to put it up here so you can see the side of the screen. This is Parashas Vayetze. Okay, and Vayetze Yaakov Avinu goes, and he runs to Lavan, and he has his famous dream, and then he runs to Lavan, and he marries Leah, and he's going to marry Rachel, and Bilhah, and Zilpah, Leah, Barzal, Leah, Zilpah, Rachel, Bilhah, and is going to have all the Shvatim, except for Binyamin, who's born in Paraklam. But hey, okay, Vayishlach. Anyway, when Leah has her foreson, this is extremely famous, Vatahar Od Vatelid Bain, 2935, in Bereshis Chavtes Lamed Hey, Vatahar Od Vatelid Bain, she conceived again and she gave birth to a son. She already had Reuven and Shimon and Levi, but then she conceives again and she gives birth to a son, Vatomer, and she said, Hapam Oda Es Hashem, this time I will thank Hashem, Al Kain Kara Shemo Yehuda, therefore she called his name Yehuda. Yehuda, Vatamod Midadis, and she stopped giving birth. So it's extremely famous. By the way, you see where I'm going. We saw in the Mishnah, Moda al Ha'emes, Hapam Oda es Hashem, Al Kain Kirashimo Yehuda. It's all the same Shoresh. Moda al Ha'emes is both to admit the truth, to concede to the truth, and to give thanks for the truth. A Chacham has to be able to give thanks for the truth. Okay? Rav Salvechik tells over about Rav Chaim Brisker, I believe, that he was once giving a shir, and I don't know what all the way, a big part of way into the shir, somebody stood up and asked the kasha, and Rav Chaim Brisker was silent, and he said, "You're right, this negates everything that I've spoken about," and he got down from the podium and he stopped speaking. Tamar Chacham has to be able to be moda ala emes. You have to admit the truth, concede that the truth. Why? Because the truth is a Kosh Baruch Hu sign. Chos Moshel Kosh Baruch Hu emes. Masecha Shabbos Nun Hei. And also you have to be able to give thanks for the truth, because the Torah is emes. So you have to be able to be thankful for the truth. So, you know, it's when I call somebody, let's say, if I leave a voicemail, which is, for there are times when I actually do have to use the phone, and if I do call somebody, so it's a problem for me. If it's like 3:47, let's say, I don't like to say it's 3:45. I don't like to say it's 4. So sometimes I'll say it's just before 4. It sounds a little strange. Who leaves a message and says, "I'm calling you at 3:47 p.m.? But I try and be very careful. Bli Einhar. I try to be very medactic with what I'm saying. So if it's not 3, you know, if it's 3:57, I'll say it's right before 4 o'clock. 3:47 is a little bit more of a chapa. If it's 3:28, I'll say it's right before 3:30. You know, they might think you're crazy if you leave a message and you say it's 3:28 p.m. But we have to try and always speak the MS, and we always have to try to focus on the MS. So what happened with Leah is, Hapam Oda Es Hashem, Moda Allah Emes, is one of the seven qualities of a Chacham. This time, I will thank Hashem. She will also concede that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of all life. Al Kain Karshon Yehuda, famous Zukt Rashi, Hapam Odes Hashem, Shenatalti Yoter Michalki, Me'ata Yeshli Dehodos. Why did I take more than my portion? What was Leah saying? What does that mean? Me'ata Yeshli Dehodos. So the Imahot were Nevi'ot, and they knew that there were going to be 12 tribes, and if there are 4 wives to Yaakov, then 12 divided by 4, each one should get 3 sons. She had Reuven, Shimon, Levi. All of a sudden she has Yehuda, and she realizes, I took more than my share. Therefore, Natalti Yoter, I took more than my portion. I have to give thanks. My portion was 3, because I'm one of the Imahot, not a Balgai, a statement of fact. And there are four mothers, 4 wives, excuse me, and therefore I took more than my share. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, which you hear right, see right here, Brachos Zion on my screen. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches something amazing. Rabbi Yochanan tells it over in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Miyam Shabar Kodesh Baruch Hu Es Olamo Lo Haya Adam Shehoda La Kodesh Baruch Hu Ad Shabasa Leia Vahodato Shenemer Apam Odes Hashem. The Gemara says something unbelievable, and that is, from the day that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, there was no one who gave thanks to Kodesh Baruch Hu until Leah came along and gave thanks to him. Shenamar Hapam Odes Hashem. This is from next week's Parsha Vayetzi. Until Leah came along and said, "This time I will thank Hashem upon the birth of Yehuda." So how fundamental, how life-changing, how world-altering was her thanks. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, from the time the world was created, there was no one who was Moda to Kodesh Baruch Hu until Leah came along and said, "This time I will thank Hashem." And it is fascinating and compelling and important to know that we are called Yehudim. We are not called after any other tribe. And it's something that I stress very often. But listen, we could be called Asherites, and we could be called Binyaminites, and we could be called Reuvenites. He was a Bechor. We could be called after a different tribe. There were 12 Shvatim, and yet we are called specifically after Yehudim, Yehuda. This is not a mistake, because the essence of a Yid is that we must be a person who is able to concede, to admit, and to give thanks. And of course, the Medrash famously said, Medrash Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Aleph, Siman Dalet maybe, Medrash famously says that for Bikurim, the whole world was created. Bereishis, Bishvil Reishis, Baruch Kim Yisrael Shemayim V'Yisra'aretz. For Reishis, for Bikurim, the whole world was created. For Torah, I could understand. For Knesset, Yisrael, I could understand. The whole world was created for Bikurim. It's very nice. You bring your first fruits, Parshas Kisalo, Perach Avav Devarim. It's a beautiful mitzvah. The Mishnah talks about the procession in Mishnah Bikurim, Perach Gimel. But for this, the whole world was created, Taka, for the midah of Hakar Soto, for the midah of recognizing the good, which also takes our shir back to how we started. Focus on the traits of the Chacham, says the Mishnah, not on the traits of the Golem. And then, by process of reasoning, you could understand that the Golem has the opposite of the Chacham. For Bikurim, the whole world was created, because for the Koach of being able to be Makir Tov, and when you're Makir Tov, you can be moda that someone did something for you. In order to be moda ala MS, first you have to be makir the MS. In order to be modal the tova, first you have to be makir the tova. If you don't recognize the good, you don't recognize the emes, you'll never admit the emes, and you'll never be thankful for the emes. The stage that precedes moda al ha'emes is makir al ha'emes. And only then can we be moda. So this is what Leah introduced to this world. This is what we are called. This is the first word that comes out of our mouths every single morning. Modan is the first word you should say. Not what's the weather, not passing my phone, not I didn't sleep well, not oh my God, why is the bus coming? It's pitch black outside and what time is it? And why are we ready? The first thing that you have to say in the morning is moda. The first word. You're a Yehudi. And the first word out of your mouth before you even watch Negovasser is Modeh. And not I am thankful, but if you want to translate into English, thankful am I. We have Modem Anachnulach in our benching. We have Modem Dirabban and Chazar Sashat. We have the paragraph of Noda Lechashem Elkeinu, Ashi Chatal Avasenu in Berkos Hamazon. The very essence of who we are as our nation was introduced to us by our righteous foremother Leah Imenu, and we are called Yehudim Na for Na. So our Thanksgiving preceded the American Thanksgiving by eternity, since the Torah was here from before the world was created. Yistakel b'raisu bar'oma, I think that's maybe the most famous teaching of the Zohar. So therefore, our Torah was here before everything else. Before there was a world, there was Torah. So the concept of thanks was not introduced with the pilgrim 400 years ago. My daughter told me she's a teacher's assistant in one of the preschools near us, and they were learning, I think she said yesterday, I picked up yesterday, they were learning about Thanksgiving. So the Mora said, what do we eat today? So one of the kinder said, we eat peacock on Thanksgiving. So the Mora said, a different bird, close, but not exactly. It's very cute. So our Thanksgiving preceded theirs long, long ago. And one of the seven midos of a chacham says, the Mishnah is that you must be moda al ha'emes. We acknowledge the truth, we admit the truth, and if you're a Torah true Yid, then you're thankful for the truth. Says Rav Chaim Brisker, your comments just, what's the exact word I'm looking for? Debunked on, or mevatel my whole shir. Your comments prove that the whole shir did not have foundation. I'm finished. He stopped speaking. The Rav was his grandson, and he came down from the podium, and the shir was over. So we have to be able to be thankful for the truth, concede the truth, admit the truth, and this is part of our whole life as Yehudim. I want to offer a different shot. I think it's less well known as to why we are called. Isn't this nice? Isn't this nice? Baruch Hashem. You see, people do want to always learn Torah. We have a tmidius to our kavua shir and hodu Hashem ki tov ki liolam chasto. So, the first step in tshuva, yeah, you have to be moda in order to have azivas hachet. You have to be moda in order to have charata. Okay. So, I want to offer a gevaldik pshat into this idea of why we are called Yehudim. Slightly different, very different. I think not as famous. And very, very, very powerful. Why are we called Yehudim? What does it mean to be moda, hoda'a, Yehuda, modim, noda? I'm actually quoting from Rabbi Yisachar friend. I'm probably just need Savim. Don't panic. We're not there yet. They didn't skip a whole year. Parshas Nitzavim begins, Atam Nitzavim Hayam Kulachem Chaim Ifnei Hashem Elkechem. If you go and say for Devar, and Beschan and Eker, Ve'eshoftim Kisei, say Kisavo Nitzavim. Kisavo are the terrible klalos that will befall Knesset Yisrael when we don't go in the ways of Hashem. And Nitzavim follows right after the klalos. Okay. Immediately after, writes Rabbi Yisachar Fran, enumerating the long list of 98 curses that they would face if they disobeyed Hashem, Moshe called the Jewish people and he said, you are standing here today. What is the significance of this sequence of events? The Midrash, as quoted by Rashi to the Chumash, for your reference, it's Devarim Chof Tes. The Midrash, quoted by Rashi, explains, when the Jewish people heard the curses, they turned green. You know, if you've ever seen someone nauseous, it looks like they're turning green. A few years ago, it was a Wednesday night, I had to cancel Shari Shir at the last minute. Oh, it was the summer, the first summer of COVID, if anyone remembers. I canceled at the last minute. One of my boys fell off his bike, and he had a pretty bad fall. He wasn't by us, and a nice young lady across the street, actually the Rabbitin of the Stern campus, Okay, subsequently found out who it was. She saw him fall. She said, "Do you need any help?" And he said, "No, it's okay." I don't know what he was thinking. He fixed his chain and got back on his bike. By the time he arrived at my brother and sister-in-law's house, my sister-in-law called Hatzal. And she called me and she said, "I had to call Hatzal. Come right over." I said to my son, "Why didn't you just tell that very nice lady that you needed help?" Okay. Anyway, the Maisa, when we got there, he was, besides her sweating and in bad shape, he was like green. Like, there's sometimes a person has a green pallor, not like Esther Malka, but sometimes you could actually see it. When a person doesn't feel well, Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. When a person doesn't feel well, they actually turn green. So Rashi says, when the Jewish people heard the curses, they turned green. Who can withstand all these curses? They moaned despondently. What will become of us? Moshe called them together in Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim Ayom Chayim Kulcham Lefnei Hashem. Don't be so worried, he said. You're standing here today after 40 years in the desert. Remember, the farmer's Moshe's goodbye letter to the people. After angering Hashem so many times with the Cheda Ego, with the Meragim, the sin of the spies, with the Mishonanim, the complainers, you're still here. Hashem has not destroyed you, so you don't need to despair. Don't turn green from the curses. Atem Nitzavim. You're still standing before Hashem. You as a nation will continue to stand before Hashem. The commentator, says Rabbi Fran, are puzzled. Moshe seems to be taking, quote, the wind out of his own sails. First, he reads off all the horrible curses to scare the Jewish people into obedience, to put the fear of the Lord into them. The curses are terrible. They're frightening. They're fire and brimstone. Nobody wants to hear them. That's why we read them fast and quiet, because we don't want to hear of such terrible things. The threat of the curses accomplished their purpose. The people are terrified. They turn green. God, that's what I wanted. I want you to turn green. All of a sudden, Moshe says, "Don't worry. It's not so bad. You're standing alive before Hashem. You don't have to be so terrified." Was he not defeating the purpose of the Tochacha? What was the point of giving them the Tochacha? Scaring them with 98 curses. Saying, this is what's going to happen if you don't go in the ways of the Shem. And then when they turn green because they're going to faint from fear, Moshe says, "Oh, don't worry, Kindalach. It's really okay. You're all standing alive before Hashem." Which was it? Should you be green and terrified? Or should you be good and happy and standing before Hashem? How do we understand this? It's a stira. He contradicted his own words. Quote, the answer is, there is a vast difference between healthy fear and yayush, hopelessness. It is a good thing to be realistically apprehensive about the future. You have to make plans to the best of our ability. We have to take the future into account. We have to be normal human beings and recognize what the picture is and plan accordingly. And sometimes that includes a healthy, realistic apprehension about the future. It is unhealthy to live in a fool's paradise, says Rabbi Fran, believing you can do as you please without suffering any consequences. It's unhealthy to think there will never be consequences. I could do whatever I want. I don't have to fear the Yom HaDin. I don't have to fear the Din V'Chashbon. Everything is totally fine. That's not normal either. That's not an Eved Hashem. But hopelessness is destructive. Hopelessness, says Rabbi Fran, quote, demoralizes, debilitates, and reduces a person to a ball of quaking jelly. Maybe not the most poetic language, but that's what it says. And the point is that hopelessness, yeush, is demoralizing. Yeush is debilitating. When a person comes to a place of yeush, they feel like, I can't function. That's not what a yid is supposed to feel. You want a healthy sense of apprehension. What's going to be on the Yom HaDin? It's taka. Very good question. You have a purpose to be afraid. But maybe not you. I certainly do. There's something to be afraid of. Anyone's been following the Oyu Halacha Yomisis the last 2 weeks? Does anyone else follow them besides for me and my friend Michal Salman? They're all about the Halachas of Brachos. I said to my friend, what's going to happen when I get up there? I feel like I never made a bracha properly in my life before. Bracha Rishona, Bracha Achrona, the proper Shir, the proper Zman. You're following them, you know what I'm talking about. So you should have a healthy sense of fear for the Yom HaDin, it's true. But hopelessness is not much more than that, because it destroys a person, demoralizes a person, and mamash is debilitating. Moshe saw after the klalos that the Jewish people had gone beyond fear when they heard the curses. They lost hope. They threw in the towel. If this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam has in mind for us, we give up. Therefore, he had to calm them down until they recovered their hope and they felt that there was a healthy sense of fear, but not a demoralizing, debilitating terror. That's not healthy for Avodas Hashem. What does the Pasuk say in Chaf Zayin of Tehillim? Kaveh Chav Zayin Yudalad, Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'yameitzi Becha, V'kaveh El Hashem. You always have to hope in God. Chazak, strengthen yourself. V'ameitzi Becha, fortify your heart. V'kaveh El Hashem. Doesn't say give up hope in God. Kav, align. Always keep yourself connected like an umbilical cord, a line between you and the Ribbono Shel, and then hope to God. The sages tell us, says Rabbi Fran, that after the destruction of the temple, Kol Sha'arim Ninalim Chutz Mishari Dima, the gates of tears are the channel of the last resort for prayer, and they're never closed. So the great Kotzker, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mikotz, Chusha Yagin Eleinu, asks a Gavalda Kasha, if the gates of tears are never locked, why are there gates? If you're telling me, Kol Sha'arim Ninalim, all the gates are locked, Chutz Mishari Dima, the Shari Dima are never locked, that means they're always open. So if they're always open, that's very nice. Why do you need gates? You never close them. Why do you need an alarm system if you never turn on your alarm? You never, ever, 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 ever turn on your alarm. So don't pay the alarm company. What are you paying for? It's a waste. So why do you have gates if you never close them? If you never lock them, what do you need gates for? Why are there Sha'arei Dima'ot if they're always open? So the great Kotzka answers a Gevaldik Teiritz. There are some tears that do not get through. Because there's different quality to different kinds of tears, says the Kotzka. The gates screen out tears of desperation and hopelessness. Gates, tears of tefillah and hope and courage and fortitude, those tears make it through the gates. Tears of despair are locked out. The gates in heaven screen out tears of desperation and hopelessness because that's not the way of a yid. Despair is not considered a prayer to the Almighty. Yeush is not the Torahic path. If a person is in a state of helplessness and desperation, if he feels backed into a corner, so Hashem is his only hope of salvation, Kaveh al Hashem, Chazak va'ameitzi becha v'kaveh al Hashem, if he calls from his innermost feelings and thoughts, if he wrings out the perspiration of his heart and soul and sends his hope-laden tears heavenward, there are no barriers in heaven to this sort of prayer. Prayer of hope, prayer of chizuk, chazak, prayer of strengthening, prayer of bitachon, tears of amuna, always make it through. Tears of yeush, of hopelessness and despair do not make it through. So when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the people had given up hope, he said, it's the end of us, we're throwing in the towel. Why bother if that's what's going to happen? No American Knesset or so when they gave up hope. So now Moshe Rabbeinu said, just a minute. That's not the lesson. That's not the message. That's not the right mahalach. I'm going to go back to my screen share. What does this all have to do with Moda al HaEmes and being called after Yehuda and the Mishnah we started in? And did I just take a tangent? That would be like not very Mishnah-like, the Mishnah that we're learning. I'm not staying on topic, but I really am staying on topic. I'm going back to my screen share. Okay, could you see here it says, Bereishis Mem Dalet Vayigash. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we're taking a little bit of a journey through a number of different sedra in Bereishis. Okay, so what happens? Here we go. In Perak Mem Dalet, Miketz, end of Miketz, Yosef sends his servant, his steward, to run after the brothers, and he catches up with them, and he says these words. Okay, so the brothers say, what are you talking about? The silver, the money that we found in our saddle packs the first time we brought back from the land of Canaan. How do you think we would steal from our master silver or gold? So the brothers say, whoever stole the gaviyah, the goblet, he shall die. And we will live, and we will be servants for our master. I'm trying to think of something I just read in another source that Jasmine shared with me about gaviyah. I can't remember. It's not in front of me. Okay, I'll come in a different share. So let's see what happens. So the servant says, you're right. Whoever has the gaviyah, he'll be my servant, Yosef's, and you're free to go. So they hurry up, and each man puts his saddle pack in front. You have to remember, this viceroy is making them crazy for 2 years. They came 2 years earlier to get food. And he keeps Shimon. And then they get back to the land of Canaan, and their silver's back in their saddle pack. They've been framed. Their silver's been planted. Oh, my God, we're all going to go to jail. And Yaakov says, how could you have lost Shimon? And they say, we don't know what happened, but there's a younger brother, and we're all going to starve. We can't go back without the other younger brother. Yosef was lost. Shimon was lost. They were accused of being spies or trying to say, we're faithful, we only came for food. The Vaishya is making them crazy. And now the Gavi is planted on the saddle pack of Binyamin. So they start searching from the oldest to the youngest. Could you imagine? The Gaviyah is found in the saddle pack of Binyamin. They're on their way back to Canaan. With the second time they went to get food, after 2 years, they don't have any food. Yehuda says to Yaakov, if we don't go down, Safek Binyamin will be lost. Safek, he won't be lost. But if we don't go down, we're all going to die. We got to go get food. Now they're being taken back to the Egyptian metropolis, to the palace of the viceroy. And Yehuda and his brothers come to the house of Yosef, and he's waiting for them, and they just fall on the floor. They're just totally overcome. And Yosef says, what did you do? Don't you know that Nachesh Yenachesh Isha Sher Kamoni? Don't you know that through divination, I'm going to know what you did? And Yehuda says, what can we say to our master? What can we speak? How can we be found righteous? God has found the sin of your servants. We'll all be servants, also us, also the one who has the Gavia in his hand. Last pasuk on Miketz. By Yomer, and the viceroy says, Chalilali, no, who do you think I am? God forbid profanity from me. I'm not going to do this. Only the one who has the Gavi in his hand, he will be my servant. And the rest of you, Alu L'sham Alavicham. I'm not interested in anybody, only Binyamin. Their worst terror nightmare has come true. Yaakov says, I'm not sending you back. I already lost Rachel. Then I lost Yosef. Then I lost Shimon. Now I'm going to lose another one. And Yehuda says, listen, we're all going to die. We have to go. So they go, and Yehuda guarantees him, and he's going to come back. And now, nightmare of nightmares, Binyamin has the Gaviyah. It's all over. This is the most powerful man in the ancient Middle East. Power is like a puppet. Vayigash Eilav Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni. Deberna abdecha davar baznei Adoni. Al yicha abcha ba'abdecha. Ki kamocha pa'kaparo. Yehuda steps forth. And Yehuda says, wait. Please, it looks like he's saying very nice words, conciliation. But if we look in Rashi, you'll see he's speaking kashos. I just have to tell you something. Don't be angry. You're like Pharaoh. Look what Rashi says over here. Yehuda spoke harshly to Yosef. Remember, he doesn't know it's Yosef. The grand reveal is about to happen, but it didn't happen. And he speaks up. And what does he say? What does he say to him? Rashi gives a bunch of interpretations for tonight's show. I'm going to the very last one. Ki kamocha kaparo. Im takniteni aharog oscha v'esodenech. If you antagonize me, Yehuda said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill Pharaoh. Everything's very bleak. The viceroy is about to keep Binyamin. They don't have a choice. Father's going to die from shock and pain. They don't keep their end of the bargain. This is a disaster like exactly what they were afraid of. And Yehuda says, please, my master, I have something to say. Diber itav ilav kashu, says Rashi. He spoke harshly. He said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill Pharaoh. Why are we called Yehudim? We're called Yehudim because Leah said, Apam Odes Hashem, Achshav Natoti Yoter Michalki, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says she was the first one to give thanks. Moda Ani, Modim Anachunach, Modim Durabanan, Bishvil Bikurim, Nivua Olam, Moda Hashem Elkidu. Not taking anything away from that. You have to be very thankful to the people in our lives and to the Ribonish Olam. Labda Alfalfav Dallas to the Ribonish Olam. But there's another reason we're called Yehudim. A Talmud Chacham is Moda al Ha'emes. What does it mean that a Talmud Chacham doesn't only give thanks for the truth? What does it mean to be a Moda? What does it mean to be a Yehudi? This is such a gewaldic pshar. The people felt a sense of Yeush after the Kolos. They thought they were going to die. Moshe had to instill in them, there's no Yeush, there's no room for hopelessness. Kaveh, hope to God. Who do we learn it from? Rabbi Yisachar Frank quotes the Ishbitzer Rebbe, who connects this idea with the essence of Jewish identity. Moshe wanted to teach them, wait a minute, don't give up. That's not the point of the Tochachos. The name Jew is derived from the tribe of Yehuda, as is the name Yehudi. Why are all Jews known by the name of one tribe? In fact, by Mordechai, Esther 2:5, Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan abir shmo, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Ish Yemini is from the tribe of Binyamin. So why is he called an Ish Yehudi? Because every Jew is known as a Yehudi. Oh, Taka, this pshar relates to Mordechai as well. Wow. He's introduced as a Yehudi. This was exactly his midah. Why are all Jews known by the name of one tribe? Because when the brothers stood accused of theft before Yosef in Egypt, one brother stood up. One brother did not give up. One brother defended the truth. One brother didn't give in to Yeush. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda stepped up to argue in their defense, quote, when all hope seemed lost and they were faced with an overwhelming weight of evidence against them, Yehuda never gave up hope. This is the definition of a Jew. A person who knows the Ribbono Shel Olam will never abandon him. A person who never gives up hope. That is a person who can be moda. That is the Chacham who is moda ala emes. Of course, we call Yehudim because of Akar Sotov and everything we spoke about. But there's another very deep reason that's much less spoken about by the Ishbitzer. And it applies to every single one of us and applies to our nation. Yesterday was a day of great pain there. So my husband told me on the drive here to Toronto, which I hadn't seen because, you know, I don't read the news, that one of the bombs was packed with a gas canister. Did you see that? Baruch Hashem, by Anes Min HaShemayim, it didn't explode. The gas canister. In our national destiny, there have been many times when the Yidden might have wanted to give up. Tonight's shir is a Zecher Nishmas. Two people who could have given up many times. One who was widowed very young, but to work so hard. There's no Tomchei Shabbos. There were no community resources. Another one who had to be in hiding and on the run and in all different places. Wasn't Zocha to pay rose physically. People in life can give up. And our nation could have given up a long time ago. But we are called Yehudim. Because the essence of one of the traits of a Chacham is that he is Moda ala Emes. And to be Moda means to be a child of Leah. After our namesake Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. No matter how bleak the situation seems in your personal life, in our national life, al bias kol tzedek, where is he already, Taka? Where is he already? It's a good question. Where are you, Mashiach? Ayid never gives up. And that's why we're called Yehudim. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. All the other tribes shrank back. All the other tribes were terrified. No one else had anything to say. And Yehuda says, we don't give up. We're bringing Binyamin home. Ki kamocha kaparo. If I have to, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill Pharaoh. But I will not give up. Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin. And this is the meat of what it means to be a Yehudi. And this is why we are called after this tribe. It's so powerful. It's such a chizuk. I don't know if it's a chizuk for you in your life. But it's a tremendous chizuk for me in life. And also as part of our national story. A tremendous chizuk. That's why we're called Yehudim. And as we sojourn through this long and bitter galus, momentarily reflect on this day of the Thanksgiving. That our midah of thanks preceded the American Thanksgiving by infinity and eternity. And it will continue to sustain us until, because we will never give up hope, that great day when Mashiach Tzidkenu finally comes, Hinu Ba, Yavovi Galenu, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Thanks, Sandy Leader, so much for sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas. Who could have given up many times, her grandmother, Sarah Bas Rav Shmuel, but she did not, she persisted. And also Susie Farnfeder for sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her brother-in-law, Asher Ben Zev, Zechon HaLevracha. These Divrei Torah should be a spiritual payros for his neshama. Both neshama should have Aliyos and Zechiras to Tova. The Yurtzeits are one and two Kislev. I wish everybody B'soros Tovos. I'm thrilled. I don't know if you had Thanksgiving dinner or not, but I thank you for taking the time to join. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Again, Chaydesh. Thank you so much, everybody. B'ezer Hashem, we continue next week. Kol Tov. Thank you so much to all.